For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
To the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's off season time, which means there are lulls where you can kind of take little breaks. So that's what I've been doing. I've had days where I'm taking time off, taking care of things that are going on in normal life, because NFL doesn't respect normal life as far as timetable. So anytime you can, you do it. But here we are. We're about to kick up into free agency and then the draft right after that, which means your time is up. You don't have that much time to relax and rest, because it's coming. It's coming in a big way. The 49ers have big decisions to make.
Yeah. Yeah, I already see Josh in the chat here. So what's up, Josh? Good to have you in here. I know others are coming in, and we'll be jumping into the chat here soon. So we'll talk a little bit about what some of these guys have to say here in a little bit. But I want to start off with the coaching moves that the 49ers made over the weekend. They promoted, now I don't think that they've actually said that they've done this so far, but it's reportedly they have promoted Nick Sorensen to be the defensive coordinator, that they're hiring Brandon Staley to be the assistant head coach, and then just a couple of days ago, KJ Wright, the former Seattle Seahawks linebacker, announced that he's now the assistant linebackers coach for the 49ers. So let's start with Nick Sorensen, because I want to see what you think about each of these hires and how you see them impacting the 49ers. Let's start with Sorensen. What did you think about that? We've talked about it before, kind of saw this coming. Just seemed like they were going to go with an interior hire. I was kind of hoping for Daniel Bullocks if it was somebody from the inside, but I really don't know. And that's part of the problem. We don't know enough about him to say, yeah, this is good or this is bad.
Yeah. What's crazy is 2 years ago when Sorensen signed to help as a defensive assistant for the 49ers, I said in that moment, I believed he was on the fast track to be a defensive coordinator. I thought that's why they're bringing him in. He had experience with the Legion of Boom in Seattle. He had been special teams coach, and then he moved into a defensive role with the secondary and then eventually nickels specialist, the same way that he was with San Francisco this year. And I felt like his experience as a coordinator, though it's special teams, is still an experience as a coordinator, and that gives him a leg up on some of the other internal candidates. It was never going to be Chris Kocurek. He doesn't want that role. I didn't think it was going to be Johnny Hollins. I don't think that really fits what he does well. So it was going to be Sorensen or Bullocks. And then Kyle had to determine which one was best. And I think Sorensen's ability to be in a multitude of places around the time, but also to experience that Seattle Seahawks defense, what is the basis for the 49ers defense when Robert Saleh came here, gave him a leg up on the competition. I think him having a year where he sat and listened to everything D'Amico Ryan said and saw what he did and then saw last year what happened made it a nice choice. The other thing that I felt was a big determining factor was Sorensen is the one coach that you can say for sure had to deal with every phase of the defense because he dealt with nickel corners. Nickel corners are expected to work with the linebackers and the defensive line because they have run fits. So they have to be a part of the front seven when they're in nickel packages. But he also had to be working with Daniel Bullocks in that back end to make sure coverage-wise they were where they were supposed to be. So here's a guy who collaboratively had worked with all sets of coaches. So now tying it all together, it makes sense for me. And so that's why I thought Nick Sorensen made a lot of sense. 21 years of experience, well thought after coach. And Quadre Diggs, who just got released when he was hired to the 49ers, talked glowingly about Nick Sorensen and how the 49ers were getting an absolutely great coach. So that's a lot of times what I look at, and I think that's a really good moment for him. And I think Sorensen's going to do a good job. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Yeah, you know, the thing that encouraged me is the fact that he has led some meetings with the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan would obviously be privy to that. So he's been seeing and watching Sorensen lead some team meetings, and he's been hearing some of the things that he thinks and some of the ways that he teaches. So that's encouraging because Kyle must see something there. The other thing that I thought was positive was the fact that when he was in Jacksonville, the special teams coordinator just abruptly quit. And so he had to jump in and immediately take that over. Now that special teams unit was terrible, but was that because of Sorensen or was that because the Jags at that time were just awful and had a terrible head coach? And then the other thing is when Johnny Holland had to take a leave because of some physical concerns and Sorensen jumped in and coached the linebackers. So I like the fact that two different times he was able to jump in and take over a position that he wasn't hired to do. And so to me, that says a lot about him as at least that he's flexible enough and talented enough to be able to jump in and do some of those things.
Yeah. And, you know, he's got to be a part of a lot of the decisions that get made just by being a coach that coaches nickels, as nickel specialist. I mean, that now is such a big part of the NFL. Over 70% of snaps are played in sub packages. It's become the new base. It's funny that we still talk about 4-3 and 3-4 being a base when really most teams' base defense now is a 4-2-5 or a variation with a three-man front, but it's a different wave. So the fact that he's had that kind of tie, I think, is what Kyle was looking for, because you do have coaches that have that secondary experience, and actually most of the coaches that were involved as far as the coaching potential job for the 49ers were all secondary type guys. There wasn't really too many from that front seven. So finding a guy that was kind of in that middle range, I think, was important for Kyle. But really, he wanted somebody that saw things at the same level he did. So when Sorensen got in that meeting, they must have known already they were on the same page. They saw football the same way. He could work with Chris Kocurek. And those are very important things to Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan wants to continue to evolve as a defense. This defense is not the same it was in 2017. He's expecting it to continue to evolve. And with each coordinator, it has to a point. And I think he wants to see the evolution from what D'Amico was doing, skip what Steve Wilks was doing, and go straight to what he thinks Nick Sorensen's going to do. And so you've got to keep changing. And I think that is probably why you end up getting Brandon Staley hired as well, because they want to continue the evolution of the defense.
And that's a great segue to what I wanted to talk about next with Brandon Staley. A lot of fans have lost their mind over the fact that Kyle Shanahan is bringing on some loser like Brandon Staley. I do not see that at all. I don't see it that way at all. And not just because of the one season that he was a defensive coordinator for the Rams back in, what was that, 2020?
Yeah.
When they had the number one defense in the league. I just don't think you can judge a guy by his failed time as a head coach. All we have to do is go back several years and look at Bill Belichick, who was the legendary defensive coordinator for the New York Giants, then went to the Cleveland Browns and was awful. He turned out okay. Sometimes you're in the wrong spot. And maybe that was the case for Brandon Staley, or maybe he's just not cut out to be a head coach. But I think that this could be a really positive thing, because not only can he provide some guidance on the defensive side, but Matt Maiocco mentioned that he thinks that maybe Brandon Staley can offer Kyle Shanahan some advice on what opposing defenses might be trying to do to stop the 49ers offense. How do you feel about the 49ers hiring Brandon Staley to be their assistant head coach?
Well, I liked it. And, you know, I don't take into account what he did as a head coach. That's not the role he's going to have in San Francisco. And there's a lot of failed head coaches who are really good defensive coordinators. Look at Schwartz up in Cleveland. You look at Spagnola with the Kansas City Chiefs. At one point, there's been other guys. You brought up Belichick, perfect, you know, guys who end up being great defensive coordinators again, and with Belichick, a great head coach. But these guys, just because they fail at management of a CEO operation, doesn't mean they can't handle the defensive coordinator role, which is completely different. And in this case, for Staley, he's not even defensive coordinator. This is a guy coming in. He's filling a role left, you know, as assistant head coach by Anthony Lynn. He's going to come in. And I think what Kyle really wants is he wants a collaborative effort. He wants Staley and he wants Sorensen to work together to make sure that this defense is the best. Kyle doesn't want to have to focus his time on defense. He doesn't want to have to worry about defense. He doesn't want to have to call timeouts to change what the defense is doing. That's not what Kyle wants to do. He wants to be able to focus on the offensive side of the ball. That's his job. But when this happened, he wasn't able to do that. Steve Wilks, he got it, brought a head coach in, a former head coach, and he thought this guy could handle it all. And he is a leader of men. But they had some differences in opinion. Now he's got checks and balances. It's going to go Sorensen, Staley together, and he will do what he can to help, but it's mainly those two guys together. I do think Staley offers some really good things for Sorensen, because he's been in game planning situations as a defensive coordinator. He has experienced defense with Vic Fangio. And the fact that Vic Fangio believed in Staley all these years, hiring him as a linebacker coach, bringing him into Denver, McVay then hiring him because of how good that Fangio defense was, now you're going to get the principles you're looking for. You're going to get that quarters-type defense, 40 yards running a lot of palms coverage. And then you're going to get what you get from Sorensen, where he had the Legion of Boom. Can we get now a collaborative effort together? I think it's a good hire. I think Kyle brought him in for that reason. Like you said, Matt Maiocco's right. Insight into what defenses are going to do against Kyle is good as well. So this is a win-win situation. Staley's in no position to hurt you at all. This is completely upside. If it doesn't work out, what? Nothing. It doesn't matter. But it's a good deal for the 49ers. I think Staley is going to help them a lot.
Yeah, and Josh said his time management might be worse than Kyle's. That could be true, but he's not going to be doing that in San Francisco. And Mr. Corey said, did Belichick turn out okay, or did he luck into Tom Brady? Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Did Tom Brady luck into Belichick? I mean, you know, we have the chicken and egg thing, so it's hard to know how they would have turned out without each other. So anyway, well, let's talk about KJ Wright, because I told you before we started that this was one of my favorite moves so far. I like the Brandon Staley move a lot. Nick Sorensen, I just don't know. I mean, I think it's a positive thing, but we'll have to wait and see. But KJ Wright, nobody on this staff is going to know that Seattle defense more than he will. Now, the 49ers have obviously made some tweaks to that, and so he's going to have to learn how they're doing things. But I like this hire. I'm not saying he's going to be the next D'Amico Ryans, but how did you feel about the 49ers bringing on KJ Wright to be the assistant linebackers coach?
Yeah, the first thing I was a little bit surprised, and only because, I don't know if anyone remembers, he was kind of insulted by John Lynch a few years ago when John Lynch offered him a minimum deal to come in and play. He wasn't a huge fan of that. But I like it because you're bringing in a guy, like you said, understands that defensive philosophy that the 49ers implement. And though it's evolved and changed, a lot of the basis are still there. And if you're still going to play a base 4-3 defense, having a guy that's played it a lot is really smart. But also you're grooming. You have to continue to make sure you groom coaches for the future. And bringing him in, getting his insight, and letting him learn from Johnny Hollins. You don't know what the situation is going to be for Johnny Hollins down the road. And it's nothing about him. It's just that's his physical shape that he's been dealing with, his health issues. But also, you're also looking for guys down the road. At some point, Sorensen's going to be gone. It's inevitable in San Francisco. 2 years from now, he might get a head coaching job. And then what? Do you promote Daniel Bullock's, or is he already gone? There's just so much that Kyle Shanahan has to continue to do. So he has to go out and get smart, intelligent individuals that know how to coach within the scheme that he wants to coach and bring them in so they can learn. So when the time comes, you're prepared. And I just think it's a great hire. I think you're right. He fits into this system really well. I think he'll fit into the makeup of the coaching staff. I think ultimately he'll be a good coach. So I'm excited about the KJ Wright hire. I'm one of the few that was actually excited about all the hires that he's made so far. But, you know, we'll see how they pan out. They don't always work. I thought Steve Wilks worked out okay. I don't think it was great. It didn't work out in the end, but I don't think it was a bad hire. So Kyle does a good job hiring coaches, mm-hmm. and I think it's clear every single year when you see coaches come in and go out.
Yeah, I like that KJ Wright's going to bring some energy, some juice to the team, kind of like D'Amico Ryans did. So Josh said, why must we bring in so many hated Seahawks? Well, you know what? We kind of see it that way, but at the same time, imagine if you're the Seahawks seeing one of your beloved players go to the 49ers, kind of like when Ken Norton Jr. went and started coaching defense there. I hated that. That made me so mad, and I felt like he was betraying us, even though he wasn't. That's kind of how it felt. So Rick said, nice hat, my friend. I like that hat. It looks sharp on your head. I like it. Go Niners. Yeah, that is a nice hat you've got there. Mr. Corey said, re-sign Chase Young and hopefully DJ Jones gets released by Denver. They're in cap hell. Well, we're going to talk free agency here in a second, but I want to get to some rumors because there are a lot of rumors kind of floating around that the 49ers are going to let one of their stars, they're not going to let anybody go, but that they might trade somebody. So I'm going to throw out some names, and I want you to tell me if you think they're staying or going in 2024. 2025 is going to be a totally different story. I think that they can still get under the cap and be fine this year, even through free agency. 2025 is going to be different. We'll talk about that in a second. But so let's break some of these down. Trent Williams, is he staying or is he going?
He's staying. There's absolutely no way. Trent is finishing his career as a 49er.
Yeah, you don't trade the best left tackle on the planet.
No.
All right, this one's a little tougher. Deebo Samuel.
No, it doesn't make sense. You trade away Deebo, you're going to take a huge cap hit. That one makes no sense to me. I know people want to move off Deebo because they're angry that he didn't beat one-on-one coverage consistently in the Super Bowl, but you don't make decisions off that. You make decisions on how someone influences your team. And with Deebo Samuel, they're better than without, and they still believe they have a championship opportunity this year. Deebo's not going anywhere. It doesn't make sense business-wise, financially, or on the field. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think if they release him before or trade him before June 1st, they take a big hit. If they trade him after June 1st, it's much, much less. But the problem is if you trade him after June 1st, how do you replace him? You know, now, if they draft a first-round wide receiver, then I'm going to start going, are they up to something with Deebo or with Ayuk? But I'm with you. I don't think that he's going anywhere this season. Christian McCaffrey.
He's not going anywhere. Christian McCaffrey, they will keep him in San Francisco as long as they possibly can, whether he retires there or Kyle runs him until the wheels fall off. He's a 49er now.
Yeah, you don't trade away the offensive player of the year. Like what Mr. Corey said, we scored 17 points 3 weeks in a row without Debo, all losses. Great point. Debo is the heart of that offense, and I just don't think that they're going to be getting rid of him.
I think it's more George, they restructure him. They save $15 million if they restructure him. It makes more sense to me to do that, but you have to make the money work. If you want it in the short term, it works. Then you kick the can down the road, like you talk about 25, 26. Who knows, but that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, I really question if they're going to restructure him, mainly because a player like Debo Samuel could potentially fall off quickly. And if you remember, Bill Walsh was always about getting rid of a guy a year early rather than letting him continue to kind of go downhill with the team. And he had a lot of players kind of turn on him because of that. But once they looked back on their career with the 49ers, they were able to see the wisdom in that. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan is thinking that way, but that kind of makes me think that you don't restructure Debo, because then that's adding years to the contract. Right. But how about George Kittle?
I don't think George Kittle's going anywhere. Yeah, they're talking about finding tight end too. They have struggles at tight end. I think George Kittle is a big point, or a big part of what they do offensively, blocking. I do see his skills somewhat diminishing as we continue, but I don't think that they're ready to move off him yet. I think he's going to be in San Francisco, because they want to make this one last run. I think they want to make sure they have a chance, and they need George Kittle for that.
Dre Greenlaw.
No, I don't think they're going to get rid of Dre. It's going to be interesting with Dre, but I mean, he's injured right now. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't know if they're going to be able to afford him after this. But no, I think they want Dre there, and Fred wants Dre there. So it's going to be important for the 49ers to try to keep them together.
The only one, I think that all of the star players are going to be coming back, because I think that they're wanting one more shot with all this core group. But their one player that I wonder, could they move off from, is Eric Armstead.
Yeah, that one's interesting. And I know it's a huge cap number, $28 million. They've restructured him, a couple of times now. That one is very interesting. And I think they would like Eric to play, but he's been very hurt over the last couple of years as well. He's missed time. I don't think last year he was what they wanted down the stretch, but he had a torn meniscus. No one even knew. And so I don't know. I think that one's interesting. I don't know the exact cap savings by moving on. I know it's a big number after June 1. That is a big decision the 49ers have to make, but they have to figure out how to replace him, because that cupboard is bare. They have Javon Hargrave and then Kalia Davis. There's nothing else there. So if they feel like they can go get a defensive tackle in the draft that they feel like they can plug and play, or a couple of guys in free agency, then potentially you can move on from Eric Armstead. But to me, that one's the money is the only concern. But I do think this is going to be 10 years in the league. There is a decision coming really soon.
Last one is Brandon Ayuk. What are they going to do? Are they going to extend him? Or are they going to just keep him for this fifth year? Or might they trade him?
I think he's going to be back. I think they're going to sign him to an extension. I think it makes sense for both sides to get this done. Number one, Brandon Ayuk wants the new deal, but the new deal for the 49ers frees up money to do other things. And so getting his number down this season is going to be important. He's going to make a little over $14 million, but an extension brings that down. And then you kind of backload that money and worry about it another day. And so to me, I think it just makes sense. They have a proven track record of doing this all the way from, Fred Warner, George Kittle. You look at the other guys they've done this well with as well, like Debo Samuel. I think this deal is coming. I just don't know if they're going to do it sooner than they normally did. But the expectation, I think I seen Rappaport say that maybe this thing would happen right after free agency. So That would be before the draft, which is interesting. Maybe the 49ers are trying to do that. So if they can't get a deal done, then they could move him. My only problem is with trading a wide receiver, and this is my problem with Ayuk or Debo, is we've never seen the 49ers get a wide receiver in the draft that's had an instant impact right away. Ayuk, I mean, he had plays where he made an impact, and so did Debo in 2019. I think Debo probably the best out of all of them. But where are you going to find the guy that's going to step right in and give you the type of production that you get from those guys right now? I don't know if you can take a hit there. So I just don't see them moving on from Ayuk. I think Kyle and John really like him. John said he's one of his favorite guys in the whole building. I think they're going to get this thing done.
All right. So we talked about how we think that they're going to bring the gang all back for 2024. But in 2025, there could be some painful decisions that are made. If they extend Ayuk, he's probably going to be, what, in the 20s per season, 20 million or so, 25. I really don't know, but I would assume mid-20s maybe. And then you look at what Debo Samuel's making. Can you see any way? Now, I realize that, especially with Parag, they can manipulate cap figures and contracts to make it, to stagger them a little bit, so that as Debo's going down, Ayuk's contract is coming up. But there is the possibility of having two wide receivers together making about $50 million a year in a year that if Brock Purdy has another season like he had in 2023, he's going to get paid. He could be making 30 something, 40 million a year. Maybe not that much, but I mean, this is the kind of problem that they're going to be running into next year. What do you think about that? Do you think that it's just, hey, they'll figure this out, they'll stagger the contracts, it's not a big deal? Or do you think that they're going to look at it and say, there's no way that we can have $50 million a year in two wide receivers?
Yeah, I don't think you really believe you can have $50 million tied up into two wide receivers. I know the salary cap is jumping up and all that. And yeah, on the short term, you could probably do it. Now, Debo had signed a 3-year extension on top, so his deal is going to run a couple more years. With Ayuk, you could definitely push that contract. So you could run this thing through Debo's contract, and then you could make a decision there where you just keep Ayuk and you move on from Debo Samuel. We've all talked about the fact that he's getting older. What's his production going to look like from the amount of hits he takes over the years? And you make a decision there. But also part of what we have to remember is in 2 years, Trent Williams is going to be gone. He's going to retire. He's already said he thinks he's got 2 years left in him. That's a lot of money that's going to be available. And with the way the 49ers skimp on offensive line, I'm not sure I see them going out and paying an offensive tackle. I think we all believe they're going to draft someone. That's going to be a lot cheaper option at tackle once Trent's gone. So you have ways in places that Eric Armstead's going to be gone. You're going to have less money there. Hargrave's going to be gone. Yes, those things are going to hurt. But now that's why you're drafting guys now. You're signing guys now that are going to eventually take those roles. So do I think they can manipulate the roster while getting young and changing things over? Yes, because if you look at what happened in 2019 compared to 2023, the rosters were really different. You had some players that were the same, but really it was a complete changeover. And I think that's what we're seeing going forward. So can they pay wide receivers $50 million? No, not in a season. They could stagger it enough through Debo's into the contract, though, to make it work at least through 2025 or whenever that contract ends.
Well, let's talk about some of the 49ers free agents. What do you think happens with Juwan Jennings? He is, John Lynch talked about trying to sign him to a long-term deal like they're going to try to do with Ayuk. He is a restricted free agent, which means that they're going to have to place a tender on him and some other team can come in. So if they were to place a second-round tender, if some other team came in and said, well, we're willing to give up a second rounder for him, the 49ers have the opportunity to match what they offer. But if they don't, then they get that second rounder. So what do you see happening with Juwan Jennings?
Yeah, I think Juwan's going to be back. I think they'll put a second-round tender on him if they can't reach a contract extension beforehand. I think they really want to get this done. They're highly motivated to get Juwan done for a couple of reasons. It gives you cap relief on the early part of his contract. You can sign him to a 2-3-year deal where he can go, you know, test free agency again, or even a 1-year deal where he can go test it later. But they want a multi-year deal. And you've seen them do this before. Colton McKivitz last year was a restricted free agent. They signed him to a 2-year deal, and it brought his number down to $2.2 million. So they might want to do that and then kind of backload, you know, Juwan a little bit. So I think they're motivated to get this deal done. I think they're going to work towards getting it done. But at worst, they're going to put a second-round tender on him. And they're going to make sure that if someone comes in and they want to sign Juwan Jennings, they're going to get value back. And a second-round pick could get them a good wide receiver three. That's when a young wide receiver makes sense, because they can fill that role a lot better than they could fill one of those top two guys. Even though you lose all the blocking, all the attitude, everything Juwan does, that's great. That is when it becomes at least less hurtful if you're getting a second round pick back. But I don't think anyone would sign him. I think he would be back with the 49ers. I think this is very in tune with what happened with Kendrick Bourne before he ended up going to New England. The second round tender, stay one more year and leave. That could be the case for Juwan, but I think they want to get a deal done.
Yeah, I'd love to see Juwan stay around for a while. Oh, Mr. Corey said, re-sign Chase Young, 1-year prove-it deal, Cleveland Furl, and Charlie Warner, let the rest walk. That's what we're – I want to see what you think about this, especially with those edge rushers, Cleveland Furl, Chase Young, Randy Gregory. Do any of these three return to the 49ers?
I think the 49ers would love to bring back Cleveland Furl. The way that he played against the run, the way he set the edge, I felt like he was getting better as a pass rusher as the season progressed. I think they would really like that. I just don't know what his money is going to be on the open market. You know, is $6, $7 million going to price the 49ers out? And with Chase Young right now, Spotrac is saying he's going to make 1 year, $13 million is projected value. 49ers are going to have to free up some cap space to bring in any sort of edge rusher. So the 49ers just have to decide, do we want to bring in Cleveland Furl and draft somebody? We want to bring in Cleveland Furl and another, you know, cheaper option who maybe has upside, like Clavon Chaisson or someone like that. You could get dirt cheap and see if he could be another reclamation project for Chris Kocurek. Or do you want to spend on Chase Young? We know Nick Bosa is very motivated to have Chase Young back in San Francisco. So it depends on what that deal looks like. If somebody comes in and offers Chase Young $15 million, I don't think the 49ers are going to match it. I think the 49ers want it under 10, to be honest. But I don't know how that works. So would they love to bring back Farrell and Chase Young? Probably. I just don't know if they can afford it.
Yeah, I think that Chase Young was good in the Super Bowl, but he really wasn't good before the second half of the season after they traded for him. So I really don't I don't know if they even want him back. Another one I wonder about is John Feliciano. Spencer Burford just hasn't developed so far the way that they want him to. Feliciano was good this season, and we saw what happened when he got hurt in the Super Bowl, especially in overtime. So I wonder if that might be a player that they would for sure like to bring back.
Yeah, John Lynch said that they would love to bring John Feliciano back. I think Feliciano played very well. And so to me, he makes sense. He fits the system. It didn't seem like it when they first signed him, but his play was very good. He's a good anchor in pass protection. So I do think that he's a cheaper option that they could bring in. They're going to have to pay him a little bit more. Spencer Burford went through a sophomore slump. I don't think anyone knows what Spencer Burford is going to be next year. And so you have to make sure you do something there. Now, with Laken Tomlinson being available, I do believe the 49ers are going to have some internal talks about Laken Tomlinson, about John Feliciano. But I know the one thing is sure. There's going to be a veteran player that comes in the inside. I think Feliciano makes the most sense because he's played here recently, and they can plug and play him at right guard. But I don't think this is the only time the 49ers address it. I think it's going to be free agency and through the draft where they look to get a guard that can step in if they believe maybe Burford's not the answer or Banks is going into the last year of his deal. Are they going to have to eventually move on from Banks? I think those are some decisions they're going to have to make this season.
Do you think if they brought Laken Tomlinson back, you think that they would just put him at right guard, or do you think that he would go to left and then Banks would move to the right? How do you see that going?
Yeah, I think that's interesting because he is a career left guard. That's what he does. He's already played next to, you know, Trent Williams before. So I don't know exactly how that would work out. That's why I kind of lean more towards Feliciano than Laken Tomlinson. I know these guys can move back and forth, and Banks has had experience playing some right guard in his rookie season. But I think this is one where you're trying to determine if it's an improvement and whether they want to do this or not. If they believe they can get Laken Tomlinson and he's a better fit and a better option than Aaron Banks, then you do that. If you don't, then you stick with Banks and you just say, hey, we'll go with Feliciano playing right guard. So I think that one's tough. I don't know exactly how it would work out. I know a lot of people are down on Tomlinson because he had 51 pressures last year that he gave up, but he also played with Wilson as quarterback. He's holding on to the football. It is taking more time to throw the ball. Of course, he's going to give up more pressures. It's just the way it goes. But it's a scheme fit, so we'll see what they do. But I don't know. I always think they're going to have that conversation, and I think if Feliciano leaves, if he gets a better deal, then that's when Laken Tomlinson really becomes a possibility.
Are there any other free agents that for the 49ers that you think that they might bring back?
You know, that one's interesting. You know, I've been looking at it, and I think Charlie Warner is probably the most obvious. I think Charlie Warner is somebody that they're going to look to bring back. I think they want to improve at the position, but I'm not sure that their two young tight ends are going to be ready to roll. You know, I mean, we don't know what Cameron Latu is. We saw Braden Willis, but it was very limited. He did play in the Super Bowl, so he got some experience. But is he ready to take over that Charlie Warner role of being a blocking tight end? I have felt this for a few years, and they've tried different things. They need a tight end that is a dual threat behind George Kittle. They need somebody that can come in two tight end sets that you actually have to worry about catching the football. I think if they had that, when they're in their 22 or 12 personnel, they could have some opportunities to make some plays against these bigger defenses that are out there. So I think that is going to be a point of emphasis for the 49ers, but I do believe they have to bring back Warner just in case. So I think Charlie Warner comes back. And then I think one of the linebackers, whether it's Oren Burks, Demetrius Flanning, and Fowles, I think one of them come back because you need one of them because you're just so paper thin at linebacker with not knowing what's going to happen with Dre Greenlaw. And can you count on D Winners? You know, can you count on Jalen Graham to step in and start? I don't think so. I think you could maybe count on one of them playing Sam Backer for 20% of the snaps this season. So I expect one of those dudes to come back. But if they get offers on the open market, or Oren Burks gets something, he might be gone. So it might be Flanagan Fowles.
Where was this? Mr. Corey said, hopefully not Ray McCloud. Yeah, after that. After, you know, and here's the thing, is that when he came to San Francisco, he had the reputation for being a fumbler. And so I always was nervous that he was going to fumble, and he protected the ball fairly well. I mean, he didn't fumble too many times, but then he did it in the Super Bowl. Now, it's a little different. He was trying to pick up a ball that had gone off of Darrell Luter Jr.'s leg, but still – that kind of makes me nervous, and I don't want Ronnie Bell back there returning kicks either. So they're gonna have to figure that out.
Yeah, they have to find a kicker punt returner. I don't know who that's gonna be. I don't think they have one on the roster unless it ends up being Danny Gray, who I saw do kick returns last year in training camp, and he first preseason game he played, he did one and he got hurt. But yeah, they have to figure that out.
Josh said Bell is Kyle Williams in disguise.
And not even a good disguise. He's wearing number 10.
It's, right.
It's not even a good disguise. And so, no, I mean, that was the thing. Ronnie Bell, I thought, you know, there was a lot of people that got really hyped about Ronnie Bell, what he did during preseason. And he had himself one heck of a preseason. And then when he got into games, he made a couple of plays early on in the year. I think that they like Ronnie Bell. They never wanted to get rid of him. They want to see what he can develop into. But I think there's a definite need at the end of that wide receiver room for the 49ers. Ray McLeod's going to be gone. Danny Gray hasn't played really that much in 2 years. Ronnie Bell is what? And, you know, Chris Conley's a free agent. Tay Martin's been a practice squad guy. they have decisions to make for 4 and 5 because Kyle Shanahan plays a lot of wide receiver 4 and 5, and they are expected to block and make plays. Ronnie Bell is not a good blocker, not in the least. The best block he made all year, he tackled someone and got away with it. So I don't know what they're going to do there.
Yeah, throughout the season, I had, when I do the 49ers web zone mailbag, I often have, like almost every week, have somebody say, why is Danny Gray not playing? Why is Ronnie Bell not playing more? And I always answer the same way. It's because the 49ers expect their wide receivers to block. No block, no rock. And that's primarily the reason that they're not playing more. So, yeah, if you're going to play for the 49ers, you have to be able to do that. Josh said, grab Rice in the third. And, hey, speaking of blocking wide receivers, Rice's dad was a good, not only the greatest wide receiver of all time, but he was a good blocking receiver himself.
Yeah, he was. Him and John Taylor blocked for each other like crazy. And, you know, that kind of kept filtering through. You've seen J.J. Stokes block really well. And Terrell Owens was actually a very good blocker when he played for the 49ers, very physical. So that was a definite mindset that Jerry Rice, John Taylor, Dwight Clark, all those guys brought to the table. And you see that with the 49ers. Ayuk, very good blocker. Juwan Jennings, very good blocker. Debo, occasionally he makes a block, but he does other things. He's more to, if you use him as a distraction, it's as good as a block. But I think that's why they went to Conley, you know, getting a big wide receiver who could block. I wonder if Kyle trends towards the big receivers now over free agency and potentially the draft to get guys that can handle the blocking but still get open. I think there's a lot of good options. I know Josh brings up Brendan Rice, and just like all the 49er fans, they want Brendan Rice, they want McCaffrey, and they want Gore Jr. That's what they want. They want all the lineage guys. And, you know, some of them, they got talent. They're good players. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it's interesting that you have so many guys who have 49ers ties as far as brothers, dads that have played for the 49ers.
If you're having to choose between a wide receiver, obviously you're going to pick Brandon Ayuk over Juwan Jennings. But if you're having to pick a wide receiver as a blocker, which one are you taking?
As a blocker, I'm going Juwan Jennings all day. Juwan Jennings' technique, his physicality, his ability to block, not just in line, not just stock blocking on the outside, but he can come in and he can wham linebackers and defensive linemen in the inside. There's not very many players that are tight ends that could do that in this league, let alone slot wide receivers. Juwan Jennings is a different animal. He adds a certain aspect to your offense that even Brandon Ayuk can't do. But I think Ayuk's an elite blocker. I think he's great for what he does, stock blocking, blocking guys on the outside. But Juwan's a different level completely.
Yeah, when you block a guy all the way into the bench, that's pretty legit. And Mr. Corey throwing out Arnez Battle, that's a flashback. He was a really good blocker, especially considering he was a college quarterback. He was a pretty good receiver. They just weren't any good when he was with the 49ers. Let me ask you one more question. Do you see the 49ers making any big splashes in free agency? Last year, they did it with Javon Hargrave, even though a lot of us thought there's no way they're going to do it this season, and they still did. The year before, it was Charvarius Ward. Do you see any, not necessarily even a first-day guy, but any big names that you think that they might grab early in free agency?
Yeah, I think this is one of the most interesting things. Is my normal conventional wisdom is like, we're up against the cap. We don't have the money to make a big-time signing and go get somebody that's available out there. But they can free up a lot of money. And here we've been talking about the fact that the 49ers are all in. 2025 looks dire. 2026, possibly even worse. If you're really all in and you have the ability to free up $98 million in cap space, maybe you can free up enough. I've heard the rumors about Fred Warner potentially working on an extension to free up $12 million. You know, I brought up a Debo restructure, which probably won't happen, but I'm just saying that's another $15 million you could free up. So, yes, they have the potential to go out and do it. I think if they're going to go out and do it, they're going to go out and get probably an edge rusher. I think that makes the most sense. You know, I think, yes, Chase Young is great, but I think there's some guys available that are edge rushers that would make a lot of sense. And I think the guy that I would target, I mean, the top two guys already got franchise tagged, would be someone like Danielle Hunter. I think Danielle Hunter would make a lot of sense, but can you pay him $20 million a year? That's the question. That's his projected value. I think the fact that he had 16.5 sacks, he plays the run really well, those type of things make sense to me. I don't know. This is one of those things where, once again, I was completely shocked last year when it came to bringing in Javon Hargrave, and I think they got to make a move. My question is, do they want to make one big move, or they want to make a couple of decent moves? Do they want to bring in Azeez Al-Shaair to make sure they handle the linebacker position, and then couple that with somebody that's a little bit cheaper, like a Carl Lawson, for instance, who had a down year because of injury last year? Is that the kind of stuff you want to do and use that $20 million to bring in like three or four guys that are going to help your team? Or do you want the one big splash? I think it could be the three or four guys that make up this thing, because they got to fill some holes. And one of those keys is getting someone that can get you through Dre Greenlaw getting healthy. And so I don't know who that's going to be. Azeez would make the most sense to me because he already fits the system, even though people would probably hate me for saying this, but I think Bobby Wagner would actually be a better player overall. His numbers were just better than Azeez last year. I know he's older, but he's better against the run. So it's interesting to me, but I think the 49ers would like to probably bring in three or four guys.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think that if they do go big name, I think we're probably looking at edge. That's the obvious spot if it is somebody like that. How about Sam Darnold? Do you think he's coming back, or you think somebody's going to pay him starter kind of money?
I think he's going to go to Minnesota. I think I see the writing on the wall. Kirk Cousins is going to go to Atlanta. I think they're going to bring in Sam Darnold as a bridge quarterback when they draft a young guy. And I think they're going to, you know, at some point during the year, potentially that quarterback's ready to step in. But everything about it, that's what it kind of seems to me. I think Darnold did enough to impress people. But also, I don't believe the 49ers are looking to pay a backup quarterback $4.5 million this season. I think they're going to probably go someone like Brandon Allen, where they could pay him, you know, $1.5 million, let him be backup too. Bring in somebody that's, you know, kind of been an afterthought around the league, someone that has some young, you know, a young ability that hasn't really produced, or even in the draft. There's some guys late in this draft you could bring in and put them as quarterback three. I just think they're going to try to find a way to skim $3 million there. That could get you an Oren Burks back, or, you know, a couple other guys. So to me, I don't think Darnold makes sense financially, and I do think he's going to get an opportunity somewhere else in the league.
And just think, this time last year, Brock Purdy had not yet had his surgery, I don't believe. I think that was a little bit later in March. Trey Lance was coming off of an injury, and the first day the first or second day of free agency, they signed Sam Darnold. And so about this time last year, we don't know who's going to be the quarterback. Is it going to be Brock Purdy? Is it going to be Trey Lance? Is it going to be Sam Darnold? And here, Lance gets traded. Darnold is the backup all season, and Brock Purdy came close to being named the league MVP. So you never know how things are going to turn out. Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody. If you haven't yet subscribed to the 49ers Cutback podcast, please go do that. And if you haven't subscribed to the 49ers Camelot show, please do that as well, so we can continue to bring you the content that you're looking for and needing. Ant, great job. This was an excellent show, and hopefully we can get back together in a couple of weeks and do this again.
Yeah, sounds good. There's going to be a lot of information that comes out over the next week. We're going to have a ton to talk about, because hopefully by the time we talk again, the 49ers have made the decisions in free agency, or for the most part, and then we're going to get a clear picture on the holes they need to fill in the draft. So free agency kind of sets the table for the draft. We're getting to that season. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it, and I always enjoy talking with you, Mark. So, yeah, make sure everyone subscribes to 49ers Camelot. If you haven't already, go find it, subscribe. Mark does a great job. Check out his mailbag episodes. They're always good. So hopefully people will check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Appreciate that. And sorry, I did see a lot of draft questions in the comments. Promise you in a few weeks we'll get to those, but we just wanted to cover as much of the coaching and free agency stuff as we could. So everybody have a great rest of your week, and rest up over the weekend, because come early part of next week when that free agency frenzy starts, you need to have your energy to be able to endure that.
I'll catch you guys on the next one. Until then, stay safe. Remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.